Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
Thank you for joining me again today. I do hope the broadcast is a blessing to you. I hope you'll get out your Bible and read along and study the passages with me, because I don't want you to take my word for it. As a good Berean, you should receive the word with all readiness of mind and search the scriptures to see whether the things anybody would say are true. My question for you today is this: are you ready to leave this world? If you were to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? More importantly, if the Lord was to call the church, the body of Christ, home today, do you know you'd be with them? I want you to read with me in Romans chapter 13 and notice in verse 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Notice he said in verse 11 that now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You know, you talk about the word salvation. Somebody says, "Are you saved?" What they mean is, are you saved from the wrath to come? The Bible says we've been delivered from the wrath to come. There is a day coming when the Lord is going to pour his judgment out upon this world. But right now we live in a dispensation of grace, wherein God is not judging mankind for their sins. He's willing that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And he's calling men unto salvation by that gospel that Paul preached, the gospel of Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and raised again. But there will come a day, and that day may very well be very soon, the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will be done with the work that the body of Christ is to do on the earth. In other words, the last person who will believe the gospel of Christ will believe it and be saved, and God will call the church out of this world, and his wrath and his judgment will begin to fall upon the world. You don't want to be there. Now is your salvation nearer than when you believed. If you're saved this morning, listening to my voice, we are one day closer to the day when the Lord will catch us out of this world, caught up. That's a term that more and more is getting disregarded in circles of Christian teaching. In fact, more and more preachers are denying the rapture of the church, the body of Christ, the premillennial rapture of the church. Where does that term come from? The word rapture is not in a King James Bible, but let me show you what term is in your Bible. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4, we find these words in verse 13. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." And the term asleep there is being used in your Bible as a euphemism for death. Those that are asleep in Christ are dead in Christ. He says further in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Caught up is the term that people use the word rapture for today. Rapture is a good word. It's just not in the Bible. But we're going to be caught up, the body of Christ, bodily resurrected. We're going to leave this world, and it turns out we're going to receive a new body. There are many teachers today that believe this is all symbolic of something. It's not really true. But why don't we just believe the Bible means what it says? Why do men always want to try to spiritualize passages and make them to be something other than what they simply say in plain old sixth grade English? The way to interpret the Bible is to allow the Bible to interpret the Bible by comparing Scripture with Scripture. Let's compare a Scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is that the teaching of our being caught up and changed is a mystery. Verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now, before I read further, why would Paul call this a mystery if he's simply referring to the resurrection of kingdom saints that has been prophesied in the Old Testament scriptures for thousands of years? That wasn't a mystery, that was prophecy. But what he's referring to here is a mystery that nobody knew before. He says, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So there's a change that's going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. What is that change? Verse 53 tells you, "For this corruptible," that is, this sinful body of flesh, "this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." So you see, you can praise God for the truth of the fact that we that are saved are not going to have to spend eternity in this old body. The reason I praise God for that is because this body is vile. Look, if you will, in Philippians chapter 3. Paul writes in verse 20, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." The reason this corruptible must put on incorruption and this mortal must put on immortality is because this body is vile. Your body, my body, is vile. Paul says, "In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing," in Romans chapter 7. There's nothing good about your flesh. That's why it's a waste of time to try to perform in your flesh things that you think are going to be acceptable unto God. What you need to do is to believe on the one who did perform in his flesh through death the things that made you acceptable unto God, and that's Jesus Christ. He died for your sins at Calvary because the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. It says, "By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified." You can't keep the law because of the carnal nature, but Jesus Christ kept the law for you. And he shed his blood at Calvary so that in believing in him, trusting that he died for your sins, claiming him as your Lord and Savior, you can receive the change. Your vile body will be changed and fashioned like unto his glorious body. And this is a mystery. It was a mystery that we should be changed, and that mystery is demonstrated in the passage we read in 1 Thessalonians. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And that change comes when the Lord himself descends from heaven. Let's look at the passage again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." It's not that we don't sorrow when a brother or a sister dies. I mean a fellow believer in Christ. We just don't sorrow as those which have no hope. The world mourns the death of an individual because in their mind it's final. That life has ended and there's nothing after that, or at least they don't know what's after that. But we that are saved by grace through faith have a hope. We know that those that are saved, those that are already deceased, the dead in Christ, we're going to see them again because they're with the Lord when he comes back. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Well, where's God going to bring them? Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain, that would be those who haven't already died in Christ, but are alive when Jesus Christ descends from heaven, we which are alive and remain, verse 15, unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. In other words, we're not going to precede them or hold them back. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's that word, caught up, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Greek word translated caught up there is the word harpazo, if I'm pronouncing it right, and it means to seize or take by force. It's from Latin that we get our word rapture. And if you think about it, a bird of prey is called a raptor. They swoop down and seize their prey by force in a moment, very quickly. So the rapture of the body of Christ is very simply that mystery concerning members of the body of Christ being caught up. First the dead in Christ shall rise, them which are asleep. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Notice that verse 18 says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It wouldn't be a comforting thought if we were going to go through the wrath in order to be caught up. What churches today don't seem to understand is that the rapture of the body of Christ is not the second coming of Jesus Christ. That is not a mystery. That is prophecy. The catching up of the body of Christ is a mystery. But when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, he comes back to the earth. We don't go up to meet him in the air. We're going to talk about that in more detail shortly. If you'll notice, the beginning of the program starts off with a song, and the title is Someday Soon. I'd like you to hear the entire song today because that song talks about the rapture of the body of Christ. I look forward to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ will come to take me out of this world. There is nothing in this world that makes me want to stay any longer than I have to. I look forward to the day the Lord Jesus Christ will descend from heaven to take me out of this world. How about you? That day is coming someday soon. Are you ready for it? We don't know the day or the hour. And should the Lord choose to tarry another 100 years, it won't change the truth of the fact that the event of the rapture will occur. But more and more, it appears that that day is coming very soon. Paul says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Are you ready to meet the Lord in the clouds and in the air? If he were to come back today, do you know you'd be caught up with him? Do you long for the day that we will be out of this world? That day is coming. It's coming someday soon.
Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name. Someday soon, someday soon.
Christ on Calvary's cross, I've made my final stand. Crucified, buried, and risen with Christ, by faith I'm justified. Now I'm on my way to that eternal strand, way up on the other side. My feet are tired and my flesh is weak, don't want to walk no more. I just want to hear my Savior shout, calling from heaven's door. Through the Word of God, I can see Him there, seated at the Father's right hand. Now soon He'll call me to be with Him, along with His crucified band. The question here is, how about you? If you don't know, now's the time to make the decision. That is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that He died for your sins, was buried, and God raised Him from the dead. If you trust in Christ as your Savior and Lord, I'll be looking to see you too.
Someday soon we'll be in heaven.
What a glorious truth to know that someday soon we will be in heaven with the Lord who bought us and paid for us with His own blood at Calvary's cross. The man doing the recitation at the end of that song was Brother E.C. Moore of Pensacola, Florida. It's a poem that he wrote, but the message he gave at the end is my message to you. If you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will be caught up in the rapture to spend eternity with the Lord. Brother Moore is my father in the gospel. He's one of the first men that showed me that Jesus Christ died for my sins. I praise God for faithful men who are willing to stand for the truth and preach it rightly divided, no matter what men may say. Back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that verse 18 that said, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words," is very important to me because it tells me that it's a comforting thought to know that we will be caught up. There would be no comfort in the knowledge that we would not be caught up until after tribulation. Things concerning the wrath of God and the tribulation to come are things Jesus Christ warned the disciples about in Matthew 24. He says, "When you see this sign, run. When you look and know that this season is near, flee into the mountains." But He never said that to you. In fact, it continues on in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you." Well, if Paul had no need that he write to the Thessalonians about the times or the seasons, then there's no need for you to be concerned about prophecy. Everybody today wants to know about prophecy. Everybody's selling Revelation series books and tapes and DVDs. Why don't you just believe the Bible and accept the fact that you're not going to be around for that? Why are you so caught up in wanting to know about the things in prophecy that are future when what you need to be understanding is the mystery concerning your salvation? We have been delivered from the wrath to come. He says in verse 9 of chapter 5 there, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do." It's edifying to preach the truth that we'll be caught up out of this world. It does not edify to be looking for signs and seasons. Those events that are going to occur in the future do not pertain to you unless you're lost. The risk of you going through tribulation is if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And here's the worst part of it. If you were to miss the rapture of the body of Christ and to go into tribulation after having heard that Christ died for your sins and rejected that truth, there is no hope for you. 2 Thessalonians talks about the very same thing. It refers to the coming of the Antichrist in chapter 2 and says in verse 8, "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of His mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of His coming. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. The crime of these individuals is not their sinfulness. The crime is the fact that they're in unrighteousness because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. If you're listening to the sound of my voice and you are continuing to reject the gospel of Christ and refusing to believe that he died for your sins, you are holding the truth in unrighteousness, and the wrath of God is abiding on you. Verse 11 says, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Those that are going to be sent this strong delusion are those who would not believe. And God will send them the strong delusion. They will take the mark of the beast. They will be deceived by that lie, and they will be damned. There is no second chance. I'm sorry if the popular series Left Behind is something that you've been enjoying, but that series of books is teaching a false doctrine. There's no second chance. The gospel of the grace of God that contains the gospel of your salvation today is going to leave this world when the body of Christ is caught up. There will be no hope for those who heard the gospel and rejected it. They will be damned. There will be another gospel proclaimed during the time of tribulation. It will revert back to the gospel of the kingdom preached unto Israel. That's another lesson for another time. But suffice it for now to say that what is holding back the revealing of the Antichrist and the coming of this strong delusion is the church, the body of Christ. Verse 6 says, "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time." That is, he is the Antichrist who will be revealed in his time. Something's holding him back. Verse 7, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way." The he there is the body of Christ. He will be taken out of the way when the Lord Jesus Christ catches us out of this world. That's when the wrath of God will begin to fall. That's when the wicked, the son of perdition, shall be revealed. And that's when those who know the gospel and will not believe it are going to be sent strong delusion to believe a lie. Oh, I pray God you won't be one of those. Why will you not give up your pride and your religious thinking and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You will not be able to stand the tribulation. You do not want to be there. You want to be in the rapture of the church, to leave this world and be delivered from the wrath to come. And that's the promise. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10 says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." The second coming of Jesus Christ is when he comes back to pour his wrath out on this earth. The rapture delivers the church, the body of Christ, from that wrath. You don't need to worry about God's wrath today if you're saved. You can rest and take comfort in the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to catch you out of this world before that wrath falls. But if you are listening to my voice and you are lost, the wrath of God abides on you. You will either die before the Lord comes back and you'll bust hell wide open, not because of your sins, but because of your unbelief. Or should the rapture occur in your lifetime, you will be sent strong delusion. You will believe a lie, and the lie has to do with you believing that the Antichrist is the Christ. Don't be so proud that you think you're going to be too smart to be deceived. That strong delusion will be sent by God, and you cannot stand. Why not rather be delivered from the wrath to come? Why not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior so you can go out of this world someday soon? It is my sincerest prayer that you will make that decision right now. call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Why would you wait another minute? The rapture could occur in the next minute. You're not even guaranteed another heartbeat. Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now. You've been listening to Believing the Bible. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.